Can anything good come from Fayetteville? You see, Nazareth was an army town. A lot of soldiers were barracks there. And consequently, people had a tendency to look down on it. But the amazing thing is what God was doing in the early ministry of Jesus Christ. And it was a simple thing. Here, Jesus had come to John the Baptist to be baptized. He was prepared for this one who was coming. That was his job, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight the highway, to make it easier for God's word to be understood. Now, that was John's job. It was much like all of the engineers and PwC and DOT workers that are working up and down Hope Mills Road. Now, I have to travel that road if I come here or either go the long way around. And they're making the way wider and straighter, hopefully, eventually. I mean, some of us have been waiting for decades for this, you know. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. I mean, it's just hard to believe they're actually starting work. And it is so nice down at the bottom of the hill where they widened the road, although they took away a turn lane from us right now. They widened the road. They brought in just tons and tons of dirt. That's exactly what the scripture said. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain shall be made low. That to fill in valleys, you have to kind of chop off the mountaintops and bring the dirt from over here to over here and make the way straight. That was John's job. Just as surely as it's the job of all of these workers to provide us a better road in front of our church. And when Jesus came to him, he knew that Jesus was the one because God had already told him what was going to happen. The one on whom you see the dove descend, this is the one that I affirm as the Messiah. Now, John had gathered around himself a number of men and possibly women too who were seeking to know the Lord better. They had become disciples of John. And once Jesus had come to him, they asked him, since he'd been their leader and their guide and their teacher, is this the one? And he says, yes. And Andrew was one of the first to leave and follow Jesus. Now, I love the passage in the Gospel of John because it's so simple. They just take off following him as he walks away from the Jordan River after his baptism. And he turns around and seeing them following him, two of the disciples, we're not sure who the other disciple was. There's some disagreement on who that might have been. But he looked back and says, "What do you seek?" And their answer was, "Where are you staying?" Now, that seems to be a strange answer to what do you seek? I mean, wouldn't you think disciples would ask for something more than that? But you see, you had to live in those days and times to understand what they were really saying when they asked him, where are you staying? Because when you became a disciple, you left where you were to go study with the one who could teach you the truth about life. They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Because the tradition was to go to where the teacher was, where the great master was, where the great rabbi lived, and study under him. So if he was in Capernaum, you go to Capernaum. If he was in Jerusalem, you go to Jerusalem. Knowing where the rabbi lived was important to become a disciple because where he lived, you would live. Where he went, you would go because it was like an apprenticeship. You were going to live with the teacher to learn all the teacher had to offer. And they asked, "Where do you stay, Rabbi?" And he says, "Come and see." You know, as I was reading that passage a week or so ago, as I was preparing for today, it all of a sudden dawned on me something I hadn't noticed before, a little simple thing, but the word "see" is the basis of the word "seek." That the word "see" is three quarters of the word "seek." That if you're really seeking something, you have to come and see for yourself. You have to find out. And that was what Jesus was inviting them to do. What do you seek? They sought a rabbi. They sought a teacher. And he said, "Come and see for yourselves." He didn't give them a word of truth. He didn't give them a bit of knowledge. He didn't give them a proverb or a saying. He said, "Come and see." And they followed him to where he was living there. We have heard many times in scriptures, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So to come and see the master, the teacher, the rabbi named Jesus meant to wander around and see the wonderful things God was doing through his Son, through the Messiah, through the Word of God become flesh. What do you seek? Come and see. See for yourself and find out. And just as Andrew saw for himself that Jesus was a great man and worthy to be followed, the first thing he did was go and share that news with his brother Simon, who was later called Peter, the Rock. And he went to him and said, "I have found the one." So if we're really going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're really seeking to live within the will of God, we have got to go see. We've got to experience the things God wants us to experience to be truly disciples. And the first one of those things is we have got to make a commitment to truly follow Jesus, to see him where he would be. Now, that's a little harder for us today because he's not visible to us at this very moment, but he's here. And he's still pointing the way. He's still answering the question, "If you seek me, come and see what I would have you to do." And one of the first things we're to do if we're truly disciples is to share the Word of God with others. And evangelists tell us that the best place to start is our own family and our own friends. That's where you start evangelism. You just don't go out and buttonhole somebody on a corner in Fayetteville. You start with the people you already know. That's what Andrew did. He said, "Come and see. I have come and sought the Lord. I have found him. Why don't you come and see? I've got good news for you." And the same was true as they shared this good news with Nathanael, who doubted anything good could come out of a place like Nazareth or a place like Fayetteville. But good is here. But people have to come and see, and they have to be invited into that, and they have to be willing to become students of the Master who would teach us. See, they addressed him first as Rabbi, Teacher, Master. They wanted to learn. So you have to want to learn, and you have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul adds another dimension to that. Paul tells us in the scripture we have in 1 Corinthians today, he says that if you come to this person called Christ Jesus, you will be enriched in knowledge. That God will transform the way you think, the way you understand, if you will come to him. God wants to change our way of thinking so that our thoughts are more heaven-bound than tied simply to this earth. When we have to face challenges in our lives, when we're up against medical issues in our lives, we need to hold on to a Lord that gives us a knowledge of something that's bigger than anyone on this earth can understand by themselves. That we have a God who has so much He would teach us, and He'll enrich our lives, pull our view above the struggles of today as we put our focus on Him. He will enrich our lives with His presence. His promise to us, St. Paul said, is He's already given you the Holy Spirit. You claimed that when you were baptized. That Spirit will lead you into all truth and enrich your life beyond measure. Does that mean financially? Not necessarily. But it will enrich your life and your understanding of yourself, of others, of life itself and the things of God. God wants to bless our lives. The question is, do you seek Him? And do you see the wonderful opportunity that He has for you? Do you understand that He has already given you of His Spirit to help you along that journey, that you can handle any challenge that comes your way? To seek Him is to see the power of God even in the daily difficulties and struggles that we face. For He is Lord of all. He who created life will enable us to handle the challenges of life. Do you seek Him? Come and see. Get involved. And we can't do that just coming to church on Sunday morning and thinking that's sufficient. Our young people in the life of this church are teaching us that. Our young people are setting an example for the rest of this church. Do you seek what they seek? Well, come and see. Come get involved. Come be involved in Bible study. It's hard to be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you're involved in some serious Bible study at least once a week. It's hard to be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you're involved in a group that turns to God in prayer. And if you're not in a group that is praying together weekly, then you need to come and see what that will do to your life. You need to give of yourself in service to God and service to the church and community. If you're really seeking Him and you want to be a disciple, you need to come and see what that's all about. And our young people are striving to seek the Lord and to see what all of those things will produce in their lives. But are the adults in this church seeking as diligently as they? Jesus says today, come and see. Put me to the test. Come and see. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, being a disciple is not a complicated thing. If we seek Him, then we come and see what He would have us to do. He would have us witness to our faith, to others, to share the good news. He would have us study the Word of God. He would have us serve our fellow man and God by reaching out in various ministries in the life of the church. He would have us seek Him by seeing what it means to be enriched beyond measure by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to accomplish anything we need to be all that God has called us to be. Gracious Father, may we seek You. May we see You in all of these experiences as we become true disciples of Christ our Lord. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen.